Isn't life meaningless, since in the end we all die? Hi, this is Darko Stefanovic from Walla Walla College School of Theology. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today we are continuing a series of topics based on the book of Ecclesiastes. To help us explore this challenging book, I have invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion. Dr. Anthony Abbey, Chair of the Computer Science Department at Walla Walla College, and Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud, Chair of Modern Languages Department, also at Walla Walla College. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am also grateful to Suzanne, our technical assistant, who is with us here. The title for our discussion today is In Pursuit of Pleasure and Wisdom. Human lives are filled with complexities and apparent contradictions. Certain biblical passages talk straight about life's toughest issues. The author of Ecclesiastes asks his readers, isn't life meaningless, since in the end we all die? Yet he does not stay with that question. Rather, he considers some of the blessings that God generously imparts to human beings. So my question to you would be, how should we relate to God's blessings? And we have two or three passages here that are in front of us, and we will be discussing the issues based on the thoughts and themes that are found in these passages. So how should we relate to God's blessings? Do they automatically make sense when they come in life? Is it possible to have too many of them, and that can take the meaning of life away from us?
Well, the teacher here in this passage seems to say he searched for mirth and pleasure and works and possessions, and yet when he reflected on the acquisition of things, he considered what would happen after he died, and they might be passed on to a fool. and what's the point of acquiring stuff to be abused by a fool then? But it is interesting to me that at least twice here, once or twice, he talks that there's nothing better for a man to do than that he should eat and drink and make himself enjoy good in his labor. That is, the natural rhythms of life are what really provide meaning for us, not the desire for this permanence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To my opinion, it seems to me that we are still locked in the mindset that we inherited from the Greek philosophy, that pleasure and all the things that constitute pleasure in life are bad, mm-hmm. and especially in the Christian circle. And maybe we need to reallocate our values and feelings about that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't you think so?
Certainly within the American culture, we have the history of the Puritism, the Puritans, mm-hmm. and Puritism, and the suggestion that all pleasure is somehow associated with evil. Mm-hmm. And yet it is the God who gave us the mm-hmm. minds to think, the mouth and the tongue and the sense of taste mm-hmm. and touch,
mm-hmm. exactly.
and the beauty of things to mm-hmm. see. How can one say that pleasure is thoroughly evil mm-hmm. when you look at the variety of God's creation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So to pursue pleasure and wisdom is good. What went wrong with the teacher? Am I too judgmental on him? Why did he undertake great projects?
Well, we need to remember that this book is not a judgmental discourse.
It's like a confession.
He talks about reality, mm-hmm. and it's retrospective. Mm-hmm. This is what he saw, what mm-hmm. he experimented.
And it can happen to all of us.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's an empirical study.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so lively
and true.
Yes, because mm-hmm. we all experience many of these same things.
Mm-hmm. In reflecting about this, you know, I pondered the following questions. Again, my background is the Bible, biblical studies, and I wondered, was a king in Israel supposed to amass great quantities of silver and gold? What about his harem? Deuteronomy 17 gives Moses instructions to the future king in Israel, and it says, he must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. And harem is somewhere mentioned in this book, isn't it?
Yes.
He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from that of the priests who are Levites and so on. Apparently, the teacher who was the king in Israel did not follow the instructions here, right? Was there any reason why Moses communicated these instructions? And Moses said that he had received them from God, that all these things by which a person considers himself or herself to be special, that they aren't what we should be longing for.
Well, isn't that the way we all tend to behave? We try to create our own identity. What was said for the past generation cannot apply to me, surely. Mm. And so each person, it seems, has to do a certain amount of, or feels the necessity of doing a certain amount of experimentation to validate the knowledge of the past.
And this book is about contradictions anyway.
Yes.
Right.
I'm wondering if also he didn't want to show off a little, because time and again he says, I could get the things in life that others, you know, and very often when I tease my friends, like you two, you are two chairs of the departments here, and I'm just a mortal, just an ordinary professor. You know, but a way by which we would like to show to others that we are special, that we have something that others don't. And I feel that a little through his words, because he says, I really was able to accumulate this and that, to acquire this and that, that no other person was able to, in order to show, you know, that he was special. Is there any indication in this that this is sometimes one of the things that leads us to the conclusion that it's meaningless because it goes for wrong purpose? It's not the way in which it should be used in life or treated in life.
Well, we talked about transition. We talked about vapor, fumes, smokes, right? I don't think that the teacher here refers to a substantial value, an absolute value in life, right?
But maybe our attitude toward that value. Is that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking here that it, many of us do not have not had the advantages that Solomon did.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have the possessions, the power. And from an empirical perspective, he could say, I pushed the idea to the absolute limit. I explored the full territory of pleasure and possessions, and I have found them to be meaningless.
Hmm.
You and I can't say that, but he could.
But yet, this does not prevent each one of us to experiment as well.
That's correct.
We do it a little at our level.
In our level.
In our level, exactly.
Yeah.
An interesting term that is found in verses 17 and 26 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2 is chasing after the wind. One of the beauties of the Bible is that metaphorical language, chasing after the wind, not being able to catch up with it. And even when we think that we do, it looks like nothingness. Some of the words that are found in Ecclesiastes 2, I'm looking at right now, like verse 10 that says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. When I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And then there is that second passage here that is listed, verses 13 through 16, and there are some contrasts here. And could you comment a little or explain the author's use of parallelism? Wisdom and light are paralleled here, folly and darkness. Are these useful metaphors to illustrate the concepts that otherwise may seem too abstract?
We often use the wisdom in the context of light. Enlighten me means to give me some wisdom, some understanding. Mm-hmm. We speak of confusion and darkness as being a state where we don't have that kind of understanding. And, you've used the word metaphor a number of times. I think it's helpful to remember that all of our communication is metaphorical. None of us are able to communicate in a complete fashion. And so we're always working with hints of ideas. And this is partly the source of misunderstanding, but it's also the source of our ability to communicate with one another.
Which does not mean that it's not true.
That's correct.
A metaphor, it's incomplete.
That's why we need more than one.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, to the teacher, this was a bad news. That in this world, the wise person is as mortal as the fool. But to the fool, that is a good news. The rich person dies like the poor does. And again, to the rich, that is bad news. To the poor, that is good news.
Well, one of the interesting things about nature is nature always seems to redistribute concentrations, whether it's heat at the equator being redistributed through tornadoes and hurricanes into the northern hemisphere, or wealth that's accumulated by an individual through death, that wealth is redistributed. That just seems to be part of the natural cycle. And again, it seems to me to come across over and over again throughout Ecclesiastes. There's this frustration that I can't hang on to it.
Yes.
Well, there is a line of optimism here in verse 24. Someone would like to read verse 24 in Ecclesiastes 2.
A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This, too, I see, is from the hand of God. Oh, I just love that one.
Yes.
This is a typical French, statement.
That's right. Now, in concluding, I would like to say that the book of Ecclesiastes affirms that success in life is not simply the result of hard work and knowledge. God is the giver of all good things. True and lasting pleasure is found in a simple enjoyment of divine blessings. I would like to thank my guests, Dr. Anthony Abbey and Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud, for their contribution, as well as to Suzanne, who is our technical assistant here. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the messages from the biblical book of Ecclesiastes. Thank you all for tuning in. For Probe, I'm Zdravko Stefanovic.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.